Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, Rich, you are happier than you are with the NFL combine, Christmas and New Year's combined, going to do the huge Grayling Viking quarterfinal game on Tuesday.
Oh, I tell you, JC and Keith, I couldn't be more excited for the Grayling Viking team as they've continued to roll. They got hot late in the season, Keith, and they just continue to move on. I mean, they've beaten so far in the tournament thus far. They've beaten Houghton Lake, a good undefeated Mesick team. They beat Tawas last Wednesday night. They beat Sanford Meridian team.
Wow.
And so the Vikes continue to roll, and now they get to take on their football nemesis, Menominee.
How about that? You texted me the other night. This is the first time they made won the regional since 1957.
Yes.
Which is the last time the Detroit Lions won the National Football League Championship.
Have they ever won the state championship?
In 1917. There's one banner hanging in the gym.
105 years ago.
Yes.
Whoa.
So.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's
cool. No, it's so exciting. Like I told you guys off air, the pictures that were posted with the kids holding those regional championships, it's it brought me back to when we did that. And now anything can happen. It's just like we'll talk about the NCAA tournament in a couple of minutes, but now anything can happen.
Right.
They're playing. We have seen this team play great basketball.
Yep.
We've also seen them play head-scratchingly bad basketball. But they have the athletes.
They do.
And, you know, maybe their attention was not 100% all the time. It can't be, you know, Rich. You got teenage boys.
You do.
And but now you see them all on the same page.
Right.
Playing with joy. And it's going to be fascinating to see what happens next.
It is. And it's not just the so-called stars of the team, the Dylan Craigs and the Caleb Calls. They're getting contributions from 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. I mean, they're coming off the bench and providing big-time minutes, you know. And those are the things that you need, JC.
Absolutely.
Is those other guys that come in and just provide some big rebounds or block shots or get a big bucket, hit a big free throw. It's just everyone is contributing, and it's just so cool to see some of the frontline players sacrifice some of their so-called, you know, attention and whatnot. And it's just awesome to see them come together as a total team.
Well, and that's the key, right?
Yep.
Even though the team, I hate to keep referring to my team back in 1977. Brother Rice.
All right.
The Warriors of Brother Rice, who we lost to a guy named Magic Johnson in Lansing Everett in 1977.
You may have heard of him.
First televised basketball game in the state of Michigan, high school basketball.
Oh, is that right?
That's
yeah.
The truth. You know, Kevin Smith was a star, should have been Mr. Basketball that year.
Right.
Ended up having a Big Ten Player of the Year in 1980 at Michigan State. And, yeah, he was a star. But everybody had their role.
Yes.
And we've talked about it a couple times on the Scoreboard Show. Even if the players that don't make it into the game, it's incumbent upon them to press the starters and everything else in practice and frustrate them and help them grow. And that's what makes a team. And when you're on this kind of role, I can't even describe that kind of feeling.
I've watched almost every one of their playoff games so far, and just so impressed with how patient they've been offensively. They ran into a lot of zone defenses. Teams are forcing them to make shots from the outside or be patient. They've been very patient. They've moved the ball around. They'll pass it 6, 7, 8 times before a shot is made. I mean, this team is just really, like I said, they're coming together at the right time.
Yeah, and that's the same corollary that we're going to talk about in a minute, what happened, what we saw already in the NCAA tournament. It's the same thing, March chaos, as Keith has been calling it. Screw you, madness people. Tuesday on our sister station, 100.3, Q100, the home of the Grayling Vikings. We will be broadcasting it, and Rich in a familiar seat.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to get in a word edgewise with Chad, but I know you're Chad isn't listening. He's in school. So.
Right. No, it will be interesting for sure. I've never called the game with Chad, so
you're going to have to wear earplugs and headphones at the same time.
Chad does not need a microphone.
No, he does not need a microphone.
For sure.
But yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And what do we know about this Menominee team?
Very, very good team from start to finish throughout the year. They're 21-3. They played six teams from the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So they played a lot of those Metro Green Bay area teams that are good basketball teams, but they've been on Mick McCabe's watch list since the beginning of the year.
Okay.
They've gotten a lot of attention from the beginning of the year to now. It's kind of, what they have done. They've fulfilled prophecy, what they thought they would be. They have aspirations, of course, of making it down to a state championship and a very good basketball team.
But now they have to play Grayling.
They do, absolutely. Grayling's playing their best basketball at the absolute right time.
Do they have a superstar?
I don't know. I don't think so, JP. Okay. I'm still early in my research of the whole Menominee thing, but I will find out.
We'll talk more about it in depth tomorrow on our Saturday Scoreboard show right here at 10 o'clock. So listen in for that, I'm sure. And we will talk a little bit more about it when we have James on for the Fick and Son Sportscape show. Because there's not a lot of sportscaping happening, but that's a pretty good one.
It is a very good one.
Yeah. So speaking of the chaos, Keith and I's bracket busted already, and not because of Kentucky, because of Iowa.
Yeah.
An Iowa team that has looked really good. They won the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
And I told you guys when they dismantled Michigan before that this is a team that could win the national championship. But when you don't make your shots, and they missed some free throws down the stretch that absolutely destroyed them. A great free throw shooting team, man. But you never know. You know, you hold that ball in your hand, and it's so meaningful, things just go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. When that pressure is different when if you lose, you go home, and your season, or if you're a senior, your career is done in college. And you saw the post-game press conference with Bohannon. I think it was just, he was heartbroken.
He goes right out of college to Social Security.
Yeah, exactly.
No kidding. Yeah, and that was Izzo talking about that in his message to his team. They play tonight at 9:40, I think. But he said these kids, a lot of these kids, especially the first time they're in the NCAA tournament, you know, we got young kids. They're used to AAU tournaments. You lose at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you play again at 6. You lose at 6, you play again at 8. Right? He said, my message to these kids: you lose this game, some of you will never play another game in your life.
Exactly.
You got to be ready.
Yep. You do. Same thing happened to Kentucky. I mean, they were up by 8 points with 3 minutes left to go, and the fouling for possessions has kind of not been effective for a while.
Yeah.
Jimmy Valvano created that. I don't know if you guys know or not.
Oh, yes.
I remember first watching it. I actually had them. I had a lot of money on North Carolina State that year in the tournament, and it's the first time I ever won a significant amount of money betting on anything. But I was watching that. That's how the only reason why they got into the tournament is they won the ACC tournament.
Yes.
And they beat North Carolina and Duke doing that. And it was the first time anybody ever had pressure on them to make free throws. And it's kind of gone away because it's just what you do now, right? Extend the game and try to get possessions. And Kentucky folded under that completely.
Duke perfected winning that way. You know,
make your free throws.
Make your free throws. He created a free throw shooting team, and they won so many games. You got to follow us. You got to follow us. We're going to line and make it our shots.
Right.
Period. They win.
Grant Hill, Leitner,
smashed
the line, no problem. But, But we've also seen, a lot of guys not make their free throws. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal and, make a freaking free throw.
Yeah.
And, but, man, when you step to that line, a lot of guys, they can score the ball. without thinking about it, but then you step to the line and the marching band's going on and you got to like, oh.
And then that created another thing where coaches had to sub their bad free throw shooting guys to get better free throw shooting, even though this person may do everything else perfect and great, but yet they're a horrible free throw shooter. They got to be sitting on the bench late.
I saw one of the kids after winning a tournament game. I don't know the kid or the team. I watched so much basketball in the last week. But they interviewed him after the game, and he's talking about making some key free throws. He said, man, that's free money. That's free money. Just what you go up and make shots, period.
It's not free money when you miss the first one, and and the doubt starts to creep in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there is nothing. That's why we talked about this a little bit ago, Keith. That's why golf is so hard, because it you know, you hit a shot and then you got 4 minutes to think about it, and then you're standing over that putt and you're like, oh my God, and I've had pressure putts before for a lot of dollars or little championships and everything else, and you cannot believe my basketball served me well just to get used to that adrenaline.
Right,
you're down by two, and you're shooting the front end of a 1-on-1. You're 18 years old. In a tournament like this, pressure is immense,
and until you have that actual feeling running through your body, it can be completely overwhelming.
Basketball gets heavy, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything gets heavy. I'm trying to remember the young man's name now. It's gonna, but very briefly to describe pressure. There, Eric, I can't remember his last name. He was an assistant golf pro at Birmingham Country Club, and he got his PGA card, and he was winning the Honda Classic, like his fifth event ever on the PGA Tour.
Wow.
And I knew him a little bit, but the head pro at Birmingham, who was a close friend of mine, you know, he was talking to him, you know, all through the tournament, goes into the final day leading the event. The weather got a little dicey, and it was really windy. And his five-shot lead when he made the turn on the back nine was down to one. He ended up shooting like 42 on the backside, lost the tournament, ended up like in sixth and seventh place, so he lost a ton of money.
Right.
But that win is an automatic two-year exemption on the PGA Tour changes. He never, ever was a factor ever again in a PGA tournament.
Oh.
And Carl Patron was the guy that we both know. Carl is a longtime pro at Birmingham Country Club. And I said, did you talk to Eric? He goes, yeah. He goes, what did he say? He goes, I don't know what happened. I mean, like the whole thing, like I was concussed. I don't even remember what happened.
Wow.
I don't know any of the shots that I hit, anything. And I'm like, we were both stunned. He goes, Jerry, I've never heard that story before. I understand it, but I mean,
absolutely.
Your whole thing is just spinning out of control.
Yeah.
And you've seen it happen to basketball teams. Chris Webber, most famously.
Caused the timeout.
Jalen Rose choked himself. He never even got the ball from him.
Yeah.
Rose is standing right there. He didn't even yell to him. I mean, that whole play is a disaster if you've seen it. And that just happens.
Yeah,
and that's what happens in this tournament, and why you know 15s beat number twos. In fact, you know, I'm surprised you don't see more of those upsets, Keith, because those guys are playing with house money.
Yeah, they are.
St. Peter's playing with serious house money. Like today, Davidson is going to be playing with serious house money against Michigan State.
A 10 versus a 7. Michigan State played pretty good in the tournament. Won a couple of games, but. This game scares the hell out of me, I'll tell you that.
Oh, you have to be on guard for anything in this tournament. It's so topsy-turvy already.
Davidson is getting 1 point.
Yeah.
One point.
Yeah. It's a pick 'em.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. And we're going to see more carnage today. I'm taking a look at who I think might go down. You know, I think Houston's got a serious chance to lose to UAB. You know, obviously, a lot of people are picking the Loyola and Ohio State is a pick'em game.
Yes, it is.
In fact, that's kind of dangerous because so many people are taking Loyola, like, what's going to happen to Ohio State? But they have been completely inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Loyola, people are thinking Sister Jean, which I am. Got them losing to Michigan in a couple of games from now.
Looking for divine intervention
there. You know, speaking of Michigan – you know, it was troubling news to find out that Devontae Smith wasn't going to play. And I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in coming out of concussion protocol to play on Saturday against a very good Tennessee team.
Yep.
Oh, they're very good.
But, whether it was Juwan Howard or Phil Martelli or whatever, they played way different.
Oh.
I didn't see it. I was listening to it on the radio. Yeah. And, obviously they played well enough to advance. And maybe it is good for them. I mean, obviously it's good for them, the freshmen, to get their feet wet and everything else. But Tennessee's a completely different animal.
It is. But like you said, having Jones back at the point, hopefully, I don't know the latest word on him. But, yeah, going into that game, it certainly looked bad for Michigan. In that first half, they played like that. It could have been a whole lot worse than what was it, 8-10 points at the half? It could have been worse.
Yeah,
but then that second half, they came out and they were a different team. And you got to give credit to Juwan Howard and that coaching staff. They did a good job and got the team to play totally different in the second half.
Yeah. I guess Juwan knows what he's doing, or Phil Martelli or Howard Eisley or whoever's coaching that team.
Maybe some leadership on the floor, too. Hunter Dickinson had a really good second half.
Yep.
They went to him a little bit more, 21 points he finished with, so give him a little credit, too.
Yes, absolutely. Houston hit some big shots.
Yep.
It was good to see.
I mean, what would happen if Cal State Fullerton upsets Duke tonight?
Oh.
I think Duke's vulnerable.
They lost as a 3 seed 2 years ago in their first
run. If it's close towards the end and they're, all of a sudden Coach K's last game starts creeping in your head.
The weight of that pressure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And talk about how much that the Cal State Fullerton coach is playing up that guy's.
Right.
Guys, you will be known forever.
it doesn't
matter if you win the tournament or not.
Trivia question.
Send Coach K out.
Yeah. Send Coach K
into retirement. You're going to shake his hand knowing that you're the last hand that he shook in basketball.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Use every one of those motivational.
Isn't it? Holy smoke.
Motivation.
Yeah, I don't need to play for Duke.
Exactly.
I'm a sentimental guy, and I look for storylines. I got Duke in the final game against Iowa.
Wow.
In my bracket.
I don't think State and Duke will play, and Izzo will get his ultimate revenge because he's never beaten this guy. Right?
What's his record
against Duke? He's 3-16
something like that.
Yeah,
never
ridiculously
beat Duke,
bad.
Especially in the tournament.
Yeah, so to get rid of him this way would be the ultimate payback.
Yeah.
they did beat him a couple years ago when Duke had the big guy that can leap out of the gym. That's not playing for New Orleans right now.
Zion Williams.
Was that
in the tournament?
Was that in the regular season, Keith, or was that in the
I don't think it was in the tournament.
No.
I don't think Izzo's ever beaten him when they played in the tournament.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, more madness today in the month of March.
Yes.
But it's going to be completely compelling, and it's just at the start.
It is. We've only just begun.
I've got my FanDuel app open. That's where we're getting some of these numbers here. But you can protect yourself against upsets this March with Bracket Parlay Insurance on FanDuel. Holy cow, do they have that?
Insurance. Everybody needs more insurance.
We needed insurance. I should have did it before. You get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of 3 legs or more falls short 1 leg. I like player props and the money line on the on Loyola today, guys. Build your own parlay based on the teams that playing today. So you go right to that phone app, you got it in your hands, and you're right in front of the tube. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday, and with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over.
New to FanDuel? Just sign up with promo code WGRY. Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code WGRY on FanDuel Sportsbook app.
21 and over and present in Michigan. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued with non-withdrawable site credit. It expires in 7 days. NC2A tournament, SBK wager required. Restrictions to apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And guys, Keith, you've been talking about it for about 3 years, how the NFL stays relevant no matter what. Right? You know, what was it? 4 hours before the brackets were released, Keith, Rich,
yep.
Tom Brady returns to football.
They just blow up every other big story in sports.
Yes, I mean, they were talking about it during the bracket show.
Yeah. I mean, he couldn't stay retired for longer than, 4 weeks or whatever.
Maybe
it was?
Giselle's not as hot as we think.
I don't know. He's like, man.
And the first day of the NCAA tournament, which we all look forward to, Davante Adams gets traded from Green Bay to the Raiders.
Raiders.
He signs an enormous contract.
Well, you know, I don't know how much the Russell Wilson moving out of the division, leaving the NFC alone for Aaron Rodgers, and Brady just had to go, well, that's BS. But I guess the reason why he announced it then, he didn't text that out, but, you know, some of the real experts said, you know, to let the guys from Tampa Bay, his teammates, know that he's coming back instead of
it was probably that particular deadline,
you know.
Yeah, they would have been on the market for a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. They would have been on the market for a quarterback.
Yep.
You know, they signed Goodwin back. So,
Has Gronk re-signed?
I haven't seen that, but I can't imagine he won't, especially since O.J. Howard did sign as a free agent going to Buffalo. And that's where Gronk was kind of tied to. So, you know, Buffalo made some interesting moves.
They did.
Von Miller going there.
Oh,
Gregory going there.
Von Miller got a 6-year contract.
Well,
he's going to play probably two years of that. I mean,
what is he, 32? Oh, yeah. 31 or 32 right now.
Before the playoffs, I mean, he looked almost washed in L.A. for a little bit, and then he got red hot, and then, man, he really stepped up. Yeah.
I mean, Denver traded him when he was hurt, and L.A. took
accepted
him.
Accepted that. Yeah.
So, he didn't even play the first 2 or 3 weeks after he was traded to L.A., but I agree with you. I mean, is this it looks like Buffalo, a lot of teams are taking that playbook that the Rams did. We'll figure it out as we go ahead.
Right, all in.
Going back, I mean, I know you're going to send a sorrow card to Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, your best pal. We didn't see a tweet.
No, we didn't.
A tweet from Devontae or the last dance.
No, not at all.
I think it's tweet.
Right.
So
maybe he'll tell Pat McAfee next time he shows up there.
Wide receivers can be divas, and I think part of that's a diva move. But, you know, where would you rather play? Green Bay
or
Las Vegas?
Right.
I don't know if Devontae's married or not. I hope he is, because if he's not, it's
big trouble. You know?
Right.
We've seen what's happened to a couple of Raider players being so close to the strip.
Yeah.
Not to make light of what happened is a tragedy, but he's reunited with, I like the Raiders anyways. My time in San Francisco,
loved
the Niners, loved the Raiders.
Yes.
I really loved Derek Carr. And they made a couple moves. So who did they get? Chandler Jones on top of that to go against Crosby.
That's a great division.
I mean, I think the Chargers are going to be the worst team in that division now.
Isn't that crazy? And they're trying to rebuild that defense completely. They've spent a lot of money on the defensive side.
The soap opera with Deshaun Watson continues.
Oh,
cities are dropping out. Now, Cleveland was in it the other day.
They're
Baker Mayfield sends a goodbye love note to Cleveland. Now he's the demanding a trade.
Well, they said, screw you. Yeah. We're not trading you.
No,
number
exactly.
Number one, he's on that cheap part of his deal.
Right.
That's going to be fascinating
it
to
is.
Watch.
It is. He's a diva, too. That
oh,
guy.
He's...
What do you mean? Who's not a diva?
He's such a drama queen about everything.
You know who's
that's
not a diva is Matthew Stafford.
Well,
he's not.
Yeah.
I guess he's got a new AT&T
commercial. He does. It's real. It's great.
Alludes to Detroit.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if Brady's a diva.
I don't think he is.
No, I think Brady was in a very unusual situation. You know, and players have talked about it. I never even played professional sports at all. I considered going to play basketball in Europe. I should have, didn't do it. And then for the next 18 months, I'm like, you know, I wasn't every day. I didn't get up and go to the gym and play, you know, and
right.
play competitive basketball. And any athlete would
you
tell you,
miss that
Keith,
training time.
The worst thing in the world is when you first stop playing.
Yeah.
Luckily or unluckily, depending on how you want to look at it, most of them are forced out. Mm-hmm. You know, they're injured,
yeah.
or nobody else will pay them money to do it. So
right.
you're like, but how, as Brady, you are the best at what you do at the oldest age ever to be doing it, and you have to be after two. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
How much longer can this go on? I got to give it another run.
I know. Yeah, I mean, he could have been the MVP last year very easily.
He was the MVP. I have no idea how Rodgers won the MVP.
I agree with you.
I don't get it at all.
I thought that whole vaccine immunized thing was going to come back and bite him in the butt, and I thought they were going to give it to Brady just to spite Aaron Rodgers, E-R-I-N.
I have no idea, you know. Maybe all those sports writers got concerned that they would get called out by Aaron Rodgers.
Probably.
As a bum. You're a bum, Keith.
That guy, I've never talked to that guy. That guy's a bum. Oh, my God. That was classic.
What was the worst thing a jock ever called you?
Oh, my Lord. Oh.
The worst. Well, I mean, you probably have a laundry list, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever get MF'd?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
cool.
Sure.
Then you're doing your job.
A blanking a-hole, you know? I mean, Bob Probert and I went around.
Isn't that your Twitter handle?
Right. Yes, exactly.
You know, you just put up with it, you know?
Yeah.
You give it back a little bit, especially if in the middle of a dressing room. Bob Probert went after me a few times, and they give it right back to him. Everybody laughs, and it's over with, right?
Yeah.
You just stand up for
yourself. That's hockey guys anyway, right?
You stand up for yourself, and it's over. And you get a little bit of respect that way. And
exactly.
So on. And you know, my thing was, and listen, I was a jerk. As a columnist at the Free Press, writing what I had to write about the team, I took them to task. People liked me for that. They knew they were going to get their, you know.
They went through some tough times, what was going on.
And whenever I did that, though, I made sure I was in the dressing room the next morning looking these guys in the eye. If they wanted a piece of me, I'm there, right? Even on a day off, I would go in there so they could have it, you know, tear a strip off me. And
they
I earned respect that way.
Yes.
A lot of columnists will rip and run.
And hide.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't see them for a month or two. That's the guy.
Mitch was like that for a while.
Oh yes,
Mitch was
like that
for a while.
That's right.
He ended up changing his stripes. Yep. I don't know if you ever had a conversation with him or anything else.
Mitch doesn't do a whole lot of ripping though. Really, he doesn't. He doesn't.
He did.
Certainly not
he did
now.
When he first came into this on
right.
the scene because he was from New
That's
York
right.
and you know he's trying
That's
to make
right.
his bones.
Yeah.
And he was taking over for Downey, who was a great columnist.
Oh yeah, really, really. Good.
Yeah. So on the inverse of that, did anybody ever come up to you and say, you know, you're right? And I've got to do better.
That happens sometimes too. Yeah,
yeah. I
got
to
real stand up guys.
Yeah,
so just
and you know, like you're right, Keith. I haven't played well.
That's really rare.
Yeah.
But sometimes
yeah.
you know they'll kind of whisper to you and say, you know, hey, you know, thanks for kicking it ass here. You know, kind of woke me up a little bit.
Did you ever get agents to come after you and say something because
it
affects their potential contract?
Wives are worse.
Yeah.
I get, you know, walk out of the dressing room but they still, mostly they just give you dirty looks, stare at you, you know, and like, oh my God. You know, it's like running the gauntlet. You know, it's like, those are the last people you want to piss off, the wives.
Right.
But every now and then, like I got it, you know, and I got it from the Illich family a few times too. But that's
all.
Wow.
That's understandable. I mean, the Illiches probably thought they were paying your salary.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I get it. Thanks for that insight. I know that was unprompted, but yeah, the NFL, the Lions haven't done much.
No, kind of some small.
They signed another tight end. They got six tight ends on their roster. They signed another tight end.
I never heard of him. But
played
they,
for 5 years for Campbell, so he knows him. And
he does.
You know, yeah, you know.
DJ Shark, the wide receiver, 6'4 guy that's been injured the last couple of years.
I thought it was just last year that he was
injured. He had that fractured ankle.
Yeah.
But the year before that, he's had a 1,000-yard season.
We're at the second day of the NCAA men's tournament.
NFL.
Baseball starts today. The Tigers play today. We're talking NFL.
By the way, Tiger Baseball on this radio.
Woo! Yeah, baby.
Today at 1 o'clock.
Woo!
On 101.1 here in the Grayling area. Also 101.1, our translator in Traverse City. So if
excellent.
You want to hear the sounds of spring and that
crack in the bat,
there
man.
You go.
It's crack in the bat.
We're going to talk about baseball.
Spring can commence
when we come
now.
Back. Yeah, Tigers had a great signing yesterday that I want to talk about. But I don't want to lose our little track because there's a lot going on in football. And yeah, the Patriots haven't done anything. There's a few teams that jump right in. The Lions did that one year, the first year when Patricia came in, right? They got Flowers, and they made some big splashes, everything.
Right.
Turned out to be just awful moves. And, you know, did you see what's his name? Who is the defensive back that we dumped and went to Seattle?
Slade?
Quandre Diggs.
Quandre signed a 3-year deal with Seattle for $36 million. So good move there, Matt Patricia.
He's been in the
he
Pro Bowl.
He ran both those guys out of town.
Two years.
Yeah. And an All-Pro, two All-Pro defensive backs.
Because they spoke their mind to what was going on there.
And he humiliated them in front of their teammates the way he talked
and
to them.
And I haven't heard a thing from Patricia. Is he coaching anywhere? I guess I want to look that up because I don't even know if he's like a D coordinator at a D2 school or whatever.
No,
I
thought that Belichick.
I thought he was back there.
He is. I think he's back at New England, not as a coordinator, but as an assistant down the line.
Yeah, right, exactly. It stays in the office and does an analyst job.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Keep him off the field.
Yeah. Keep him away from the players.
Keep him away from the buffet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right, Keith. Free agency, baseball starting in March Madness. And then very quickly, because I don't know if we'll have time to get it, Sadiq Bey going for 50 yesterday.
51. Yeah.
51, yeah. Incredible.
No, another Pistons. The Pistons are a point spread wagon, my friend.
You betcha.
What do you mean, you betcha? I betcha.
Kind of my point.
I betcha that I bet on them again yesterday.
And I was
questioning it, Rich, you know, with Cunningham out.
Killian Hayes went on at the end of the first.
No,
right,
Jeremy Grant didn't
play
either.
Yeah, the top two scorers didn't play.
What am I doing?
I thought we were in trouble to start the game.
By 14 points, they win.
In the pregame, they were talking about that. They go, Sadiq Bey really hasn't been consistent. He needs to have a big game.
17 for 27, 10 for 14 from the three-point line. The first time since 1994. He tied Joe Dumars right
there.
The Sadiq and Sabian show.
Oh, my Lord.
He's got a little bit of a game.
He does. Yeah. That guy is cat quick. Yeah. I mean, I like him.
His handle is pretty good for how as fast as he plays.
Yeah, you're right.
Usually guys that are that fast.
It doesn't match up. The speed and the handle.
The only other guy that I ever saw like that was Ricky Green. Ricky Green was so flippin' fast.
He played fast.
He couldn't shoot at all. But, man, he had so many breakaway layups. Guys are just like, I don't got him.
He could. I mean, he
Marvin
stood
Bagley,
out.
20-11 last night.
Bagley is a. I told you that
they
got
to keep him.
Oh, they will keep him.
Yeah, they got.
I've watched more Pistons basketball lately than I have in a long time. And the guy
how much fun is it?
I really, really, really like is Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
Olynyk.
Yeah.
What a great complimentary player he is.
They've got.
Oh my goodness.
We said,
some
when
pieces,
they get all their pieces. Mm-hmm. Look at they didn't have the pieces last night.
No.
So, I'm very excited about it. And like I said, they're going to get somebody really good.
They are.
Mm-hmm. And the Pistons are going to it might be must-see TV again because, in the bad boy days and then when Larry Brown had things going on, especially when Rashid came to town, I never missed a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they have that same kind of team. Yeah. You know, Cunningham is not a me superstar.
No, he's not.
And so, like you just said, you got the Olynyks and the Sadiq Bays and everything else. So, you know, maybe Casey is going to escape this problem that I was talking about that he had for a number of weeks. He's conciliating that team. You know what I hadn't seen, and I saw the last couple of games, and I think Isaiah Livers has kind of brought a little bit back to the team. Remember how, what we were talking about, even though they were horrible last year, somebody would fall down and guys would come over the bench and help everybody up. Yeah. I didn't see that at all in the beginning of this year. I'm seeing it now, and I think the team is starting to feel it again.
Exactly.
So,
and by the way, Larry Brown, good to see him on the bench at Memphis there.
They've got some talent.
They
that Gonzaga... Whatever the over is of the Gonzaga-Memphis game, it might be 160. Which
it's going to be an AAU game.
There's no doubt about it. When we return here on Up North Sports Radio, we will discuss Tiger spring training, some of the new moves they made, and what we are looking at for a season that we're going to be covering wall-to-wall here on Up North Sports Radio. But as we've been talking about, the NCAA tournament is in full swing. Start your bracket with a bang right now. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving away new customers a $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right. You get a $150 bonus site credit when you place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket is up to you. You can choose from the money line, total, prop bets, and so much more. I like combining player props and money lines on the Miami-USC game today, guys. This playoff season, turn my site credits into cash, plus with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out a bet whenever you want before the game is over.
Join FanDuel today with promo code WGRY. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. That's promo code WGRY on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued with non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We'll be back. Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to you by FanDuel. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio and the Friday Faceoff show here, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And Keith, your favorite sport is right here, right now.
Yeah, isn't this nice that we're a little late, better late than never, but, you know, we got that contract out of the way, all the silly stuff, and the, you know, spring training started a little late, but it did start last week, and the first spring training game today, Rich, against the Pittsburgh Pirates down in Bradenton, Florida.
Oh, it's so cool, absolutely, especially when there's so much excitement around this Tiger team now with the Torkelsons, the Greens, the guys coming in, the signings that they've had in free agency. I mean,
Tigers are spending money,
Spending money. They're doing exactly what Al Avila and Chris Illy said they would do.
See Avila wearing all green?
All green, yeah, I saw that.
Yes. I have one of those Tiger St. Patrick's Day ball caps.
Oh, you do? Those are cool.
Two of the teams, the traditional Irish teams like the Red Sox and the Cubs, the White Sox, teams that really have an Irish fan base, wear those green jerseys on St. Patrick's Day, even though they start today. On 101.1, 1 o'clock, gang. I can't wait to hear baseball in the background of my life. Yeah. It just makes everything feel just a little bit better.
The world is right when baseball is on the radio.
I have my TV on watching NCAA basketball.
The radio.
And the radio on the TV. The sound off the TV listening to Dan Dickerson talk.
And for the trifecta, I've got leftover corned beef and cabbage from last night from Spike's Keg of Nails. So it's all good. All good.
That's it. Rub it in. Julie, don't hurry back.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I love you, babe, but don't hurry back.
JC, you liked that signing yesterday?
Yeah. Andrew Chapin, lefty reliever from the Oakland Athletics, who are dumping everybody.
Yeah. But you also know he's been coached well. You get someone from the A's, you know he's a solid, fundamental guy.
Oh, even if you saw the quotes from the other Tiger relievers, You know, one thing that A.J. Hinch has done is he has plucked the model that he had at Houston. What was the Astros' biggest strength? They had reliever after reliever after reliever. They had great starters.
Yes.
But, you know, the relief pitching there, get me to the fifth inning,
yep.
We got to win.
We didn't skip a beat. When those arms came in from the bullpen, it was lights out.
And I don't know what that's going to be like, Keith. When's the last time the Tigers had the best bullpen in baseball?
Never.
Never?
Never.
John Wilson, I know you're listening.
When you listen to Michael Fulmer talk about this guy, with Andrew Chafin, and what he brings, Fulmer is essentially a late inning reliever, right? And this guy's going to get him and take some time, but he speaks glowingly of this guy. This is exactly what we need for an eighth inning left handed guy. You know, another piece that's going to help us win games.
And A.J. Hinch, not afraid to use him earlier if it's a high-leverage situation. He'll use him in the fifth or sixth inning. Again, if there's a big bat up, you know, they need an out desperately, he'll bring in one of his better relievers to take him down. I kind of like that philosophy.
You got him. They brought in Javier Baez, a real shortstop, an everyday
real
shortstop. Left-hander starter Eduardo Rodriguez, a catcher, Gold Glove catcher, Tucker Barnhart, and Chafin now. Mm. That's with the pieces that they've been developing, what they already have, going to be a fun team to watch, man.
I wonder, you know what, we'll see what happens. Nick Castellanos is
still out there.
I like Nick a lot.
Outfielder.
He had such a bad taste in his mouth about the way he was treated here. I couldn't blame him if he didn't want to come here. I'd love to see him come because I think fans love the guy.
Yeah.
And to have that bat in the lineup, oh my gosh.
You know,
because you can substitute with Akil Baddoo late in the innings if need be. And,
so much is going to depend on Green and Torkelson, right?
Yes.
Green is going to, it looks like, unless something crazy happens, he's going to be the starting center fielder. Because
at 21.
Well, no, it's not that. It's that, you know, we were a minus seven on the defensive side in center field, and no matter what, Green is supposedly a great defensive outfielder. He's got the speed. He's got the arm. Hill had that speed and everything else, and he made a lot of great plays, but he had obviously a ton of errors out there too, or balls that he should have gotten to. Keith, you know that stuff way better than I do. But the other thing, so the two pieces missing over the things that we were talking about that this team needed to add was another starter.
Yeah.
You know, Verlander didn't come. But they're still in on Michael Pineda or Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
I would like to see Manaea on this team. That's another Oakland A's guy that hasn't been signed yet. I'm surprised.
You mentioned Zach Greinke last week, and they were closer to this guy than I ever imagined that they would be. Greinke wound up going back to Kansas City, close to spring training in Arizona and all that. I can't blame him for that. He has a comfort level. Tigers offered him the same kind of money.
Yeah.
But he went to Kansas City. Would he have looked nice in this starting rotation? Wow.
I don't know. You know, Greinke ran completely out of gas. He was horrible in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he was.
Stretching everything else.
Yeah.
What is he, 34? You know, and as much as we love Justin Verlander, we'll see how he does. They're paying him a lot of money. And he's just playing, you know, two innings of simulated ball. So focusing on what they have and what they might need to add, we'll see what happens. You know what's a really good bet, guys, and I probably will go on FanDuel and look at this when I'm in between my basketball bets. But I heard a little birdie told me that the Tigers over and under wins is 79.
I'll take the over.
Well, they only won 77 last year. Are you telling me that with the additions that he's only going to be good for two wins?
I'll take the over all day long.
I'm just telling you. Yeah.
I like 84, 85 easily.
I had 85 in mind.
Well, 82 is, you know.
The 500.
I'll see if you can juice it because sometimes, you know, that's going to be about even money. Okay. Yeah. If you bet the Tigers over at, let's say, at 78, and you bet it, it's going to be like, plus 110. But a lot of times you can adjust those yourself. So if I go ahead and go, okay, for sure they're going to win 80 games, and you can juice it, then maybe it's plus 160 to get there. And then you've got something good going on. Like the prop bet I told you guys that I made yesterday before the tournament started, that either Arizona or Gonzaga winning was plus 220. And instead of one of them just being, you know.
Right.
That's a good guess,
and
too.
The consistent message from the Tigers brass, from Ilitch to Avila to AJ Hinch, is playoffs. We are going to make the playoffs. That's our goal. It's been a while since we have consistently heard that from all of them, the higher ups, because again, this is the year now that they should, with the expanded playoffs, really the Tigers have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs.
It's 12 teams in the playoffs this year. It's expanded.
Right.
The owners wanted 14. If they had 14, I'd really like Detroit's chances, but I think that's a little bit.
It's 12 teams
optimistic,
total.
Over-optimistic, 12 teams total.
Six teams on
that's
either
correct.
Side.
Yeah. If it were 14, I'd like Detroit's chances a lot better, but.
Well,
but I like the goals. I like the goals.
So
hey, playoffs,
so
was,
I
aim
agree
high.
Completely. Yeah.
The Yankees will be interesting. I don't know how long they'll have this vaccine thing going on. Now the Yankees and the Mets are kind of bitching about the fact that, well, if they don't change, they can't play at home, which is an insane thing when you've got visitors coming in.
That'll change.
So,
they have a new mayor, and I think there's going to be some changes.
But the NBA goes ahead and fines the Nets $50,000.
Because Kyrie went in a locker room.
Their fans are sitting in the stands without masks.
Right.
And unvaccinated players play against the Nets.
Yeah.
It's insane. The hypocrisy of what goes on there. So, not that I care, give a damn about Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Or the Yankees.
Right.
Or the Yankees. Well, you must love the Mets now with our buddy Scherzer there.
Oh. Yeah.
I said that in jest, folks.
Yeah.
He's not my favorite human being. So, yeah.
I'm a little sad to see Matthew Boyd not back with the Tigers. He signed yesterday with San Francisco.
Good
humanitarian.
Yes.
We watched him develop. He had his ups and downs with a bad team. I wish him all the luck in the world over in San Francisco.
Yeah, they said that they reached back out to him, but it was too late.
Yeah.
After they missed on Greinke. They decided to go back with Boyd. And maybe he needs a new, San Francisco is a beautiful place to play, and they've got a good winning tradition. So hopefully,
they do.
And
it gets to play for an ex-Tiger?
Yeah, who's their manager?
Kapler.
That's right,
Gabe
Kapler.
Yeah.
And there are some funny signings as well. Like, what the hell is Chris Bryant signing at the Colorado Rockies?
Colorado Rockies.
The Tigers have a better opportunity to go to the World Series than the Rockies do.
Well, the ball flies out of the park there, are you kidding me? You could see 75 home runs.
I think he likes that altitude ball there for sure. He's going to pad those stats, and he's looking to get a big money. I mean, he got paid quite a bit.
He got 7 years, $186 million.
Did you see the Dodgers, what they did with Freddie Freeman from Atlanta? Holy cow.
They've got four MVPs on their everyday lineup. And they did sign. We talked about it last week, and then Kershaw went ahead and heard me.
Screw
you, JC. I'm telling you what
the Dodgers. Atlanta turns around and signs that Matt Olson from the A's, who had 40 home runs and 100 and some RBIs.
They didn't sign him. They traded for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Olson was a free agent. I thought it was a trade.
So that could have been. Yeah, it could have been. Like you said, the A's dumping everything.
Yeah. The A's did lose a number, the Braves lost a few players other than Freddie Freeman. So, the landscape is changing. I know there's some free agents back out there. Like we said, Castellanos, we'll see what happens. But if you look at, a couple people think that the Twins will be better than the Tigers. I don't see that, especially with our buddy signing with the Nationals, Nelson Cruz. I'm thinking, why is he signing with that's right, they got the DH now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
No, it's good to see him out of Minnesota, that's for sure.
Oh.
Tiger killer.
Yes, he is the ultimate tiger killer.
For 10 years I've wanted to see him in Detroit.
I know.
He keeps bouncing around everywhere he goes.
He doesn't fit in the lineup with
Miguel.
Miguel.
Man.
So, the Tigers still have a couple more moves left to go. But I can't wait to hear him on the radio. Can't wait to start seeing Lynn Hennings and our other guys telling us how the rookies are doing. And wouldn't it be great to see Torkelson and or Green have a big spring?
Sure. Yeah. The one thing we have to watch early on in spring training, kind of the fun part for me is to have a look and see what all these kids are doing. A lot of names you've never heard of, prospects coming up. We're going to see a lot of those guys early in these early games, these veterans, you know, the spring training is only a week old. A lot of veterans still working to get themselves in game shape. So we're going to see a lot of these kids, and that's going to be interesting.
Cody Clemens would be interesting. Yep. You know, we got a couple pitchers coming back that have had, you know, had Tommy John the year before. Fado,
yeah, Alex Fado, yeah.
Right. That's one of the guys I'm going to really be keeping my eye on.
Yep.
The other pitcher who had Tommy John.
Spencer Turnbull?
Who had a no-hitter last year.
I don't
know. You know, we probably wouldn't see him until August or September.
Mid to late season for sure. But, boy, he's got a good arm.
I
hope he comes back. I'm interested to see how Matt Manning develops in this spring training. It's going to be it's a big spring training for him. This is going to be a fun team to watch. I'm excited.
It's the best of both worlds. Keith will be listening to 101.1 and watching CBS, TNT, or True TV. You watch that True TV and you see some of those shows, they're like, what the hell is on this?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never turned it on this channel before in my life.
And it's all reality shows, my mom is a cop.
And weird commercials that are aimed at somebody else besides me.
Right. Oh, it's just bizarre.
No doubt about it. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Guys, once again, you can protect yourself against the upsets in the bracket with Parlay Bracket Insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls short. There's player props and the money line. And I'll give you one last bet here, guys. I think Purdue is going to hammer Yale.
I like that, yep.
Yeah. Yep. Build your own parlay based on the teams playing today.
Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday, and with cash out, the ball's in your court. So you can choose, you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over.
New to FanDuel? Just sign up with the promo code WGRY, then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code WGRY on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Michigan. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament SBK wager required. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
When we return, I'll go over some of the games that we like on the bracket today, and I'll also ask Keith the question, why is it so impossible to bet on the wing? After these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And Keith, that we are obligated contractually to talk about the Red Wings, so make it brief.
Well, you talk about betting this team. You wanted the over last night, and I couldn't blame you. I mean, the way they've been allowing goals and scoring goals, they lost. They got down 4-1 the other night in Edmonton, came back to tie at 4-4, 5-5, wound up losing 7-5. Pretty good effort. They go to Vancouver, which scores a lot of goals and allows quite a few. And it's a 1-0 game. Alex Nedeljkovic finds a way to throw a 1-0 shutout. Don't ask me. I can't figure this team out at all. But, JC, we should mention that it's the NHL trade deadline at 3 o'clock on Monday. The Wings held out defenseman Nick Leddy last night. Everybody's thinking he's going to be traded. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season. Not having a great year, but they can get probably a middling draft pick for him and probably eat some of his salary. There are other names that we're hearing in trade talks, other unrestricted free agents, rentals that other teams might be interested in. Vladislav Domestikov, Sam Gagne, defenseman Mark Stahl. If I'm a contending team, I'm giving up something to get Mark Stahl. He had two goals the other night for a defenseman in Edmonton, but playing really solid defense, exactly what you need in the playoffs. And another guy, Troy Stetcher, the defenseman, all unrestricted free agents. So watch out for those names when it comes to Monday's trade deadline.
Now, Stahl is a guy, correct me if I'm wrong, if they were able to trade him, he could possibly come back.
Well, they could all come back. All these unrestricted free agents.
But they would really want Stahl back, though, right? They need as many.
Stahl and if he left, and the other guy, Nemesnikov, is a very versatile forward who can play center, wing, and in all situations, both those guys, if they trade him, could come back this summer.
All right, guys, so the tournament starts again at 12:45 today with Ohio State and Loyola, a very widely looked at game, a 7-10 matchup. Ohio State, really inconsistent. People love Loyola. They're getting one here. I wouldn't touch it now. There's just so much eyeballs on it. It doesn't seem right to me. Where I would look at my money is Jackson State getting 14.5 against Auburn. I think they will cover that spread. That's in the first round of games. Then you've got Purdue playing Yale, 16. I think Purdue is probably smarting a little bit after losing the tournament, and I think they'll probably cover that. It's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware, Villanova is a lot of points. A lot of people like Miami versus USC, and so do I. But I think the under is the play there.
Okay.
139 points. Both of these teams play pretty good defense. They got a lot of length. They'll play a slower pace. So I really like the under in that particular game. Notre Dame, surprisingly, is playing against Alabama, Keith, as opposed to Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change my poll there. I think the Notre Dame's Irish luck will run out, and I think Alabama's actually a pretty good bet there, although they are a mercurial team. That's why the over is 153 there. They shoot the rock.
Wow.
I think Notre Dame will try to slow them down. I don't think that'll work.
JC, I had Rutgers beating Texas Tech to advance. Well,
Texas, because that's who they'd matched up with in the next...
Texas.
Really? Yeah, there's no way. Texas Tech is going to go a long way in the tournament. I like them on both sides of the ball. Texas is playing Virginia Tech that only got into the tournament because they won the ACC tournament. A lot of people like Virginia Tech there. But Frank Beard is the coach of Texas, who is an outstanding coach. So I kind of like Texas there. I don't know if I'd give the 1.5. I don't know what I'd do about that over, so maybe not. Chattanooga, I don't think is going to beat Illinois, but they can score the basketball. Illinois is so hard to predict.
Eight and a half.
I kind of like 8.5 there. Like I said, Cal State Fullerton getting 18.5 from Duke.
Oh, I know. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's
the emotion of that Duke team. Do they come out flying high, or do they play tight? And they just like are so they play not to lose. You know, how about three Big Ten individuals, first team All American?
How about that?
Very cool.
Yeah. A game that I really like, I like Iowa State getting 4 from LSU. You know, LSU had to fire their
coach. Iowa State a lot. Yeah,
I like Iowa State too. I think that's a pretty fair bet. And I already bet UAB getting 8.5 from Houston. Houston is coming off a couple of losses.
They may have a problem.
They do have a problem. Their two best players haven't played in a long time, and they're not coming back. And kudos to them for being able to keep the season together. But UAB getting 8.5, I think, is a really good bet there. We're not talking about Michigan State Davidson.
Go Spartans. It's going to be a tough sledding, but I like them to win this game.
I don't know why Wisconsin's only giving 7.5 to Colgate. That just kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we're going to end up with Seton Hall at TCU, which is, you know, TCU's getting 1.5. I kind of like the over there. It's only 128 points. So there you go. There's a little NCAA coverage. Keith, you and I will talk about it again a little bit at 3:30.
Looking forward to it, JC.
Yep.
Thank you.
Over on Q100. It's time for the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. Where's my read? I should know. It's time for the Fickett Sons High School Sportscape Show. Fickett Sons proudly supporting all Northern Michigan student-athletes for all your propane needs. Contact Fickett Sons, local, competitive, reliable, FickettSons.com. Rich Calkins, we're joined by James Cook. James, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Thanks for listening to our little bit of NC. I'm sure you wrote all that down, and you'll be running to FanDuel as soon as we're done here.
Sure.
Thanks for playing along.
Yeah. Hey, James. We unfortunately we no longer have any girls teams from Northern Michigan per se to play in the finals tomorrow, but we do have some boys teams that are continuing on into the quarterfinals on Tuesday, including Grayling, Lake Leland on St. Mary. There's a Cadillac.
Yep.
So yeah. So we have some Northern Michigan flavor there.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of those games last week were some pretty great games, too, with the Lake Leelanau games. You know, they upset number one ranked McBain Northern Michigan Christian after being down by double digits multiple times in that game. And, you know, they were down, I think, 12 with 5 minutes to go.
Wow.
In that game. And, they McBain and MC went to a triangle in two because, you know, they, Lake Leelanau has two incredible players, and they were like, okay, we're going to shut those two down and you know, see if anybody else can step up. And then Lake Leelanau had a couple other kids step up, and Jerry Schaub hit a couple of big three-pointers from the corner in the, you know, the weak spot of that zone defense, and they came back and win that game.
Hmm. Yeah, and of course, Benzie Central, they beat St. Francis in a big game. They moved on, and then they took on a very tough Menominee team, and man, they gave them everything they could, but they just couldn't pull it out at the end.
Yeah, the game went into double overtime, and, I heard that it was a really good dogfight, and then Benzie Central just kind of had a spell where they just shots weren't falling, and Menominee was able to pull out that game there in double overtime way up in the Sault Ste. Marie, which is where Grayling now has to go because that game got moved.
Yeah.
From where it was originally.
Yeah,
like
we're,
it's a little sore spot for us here, James.
It is.
Yeah.
You know?
Us too. We were like, oh, we're only going to have to go to Cadillac and Lake City? Sweet. Now we got to go to Lake City and Sault Ste. Marie. Maybe Central Mall. I don't know.
Well, and the reason why it's a sore business is because, as you know, we've been broadcasting Grayling High School football and basketball since we took over the radio stations. And what was it, 3 years in a row, Rich, or four out of five years.
Went to Menominee.
We had to go to Menominee or...
to Kingsford.
Yeah. And they never gave gave us an alternative.
Nope, we sucked it up and just went up there and played.
You know, would figure out if we had to stay in a hotel or not stay in a hotel or anything else. But as soon as Menominee has to play in Lake City, they change it all for them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, there's some rule that if the schools are over so many miles apart that the neutral site is kind of way closer to the other one, and they kind of have to move it somewhere in the middle or something. And,
thank you for explaining that perfectly.
Grayling and Boyne usually are the two teams around here that really get hamstrung by that. And Traverse City St. Francis, I mean, they had to go up to Sault Ste. Marie for their quarterfinal years ago, too.
Yeah.
Now, and again, that must be a basketball rule only, because in football, we know, again, from past experience, that has never taken place. That mileage thing gets thrown out the bus window going across the Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah, I think in football, they have to, I think there's something where the two teams have to agree upon the location. It's not just the MHSAA stepping in and saying, we're moving this game, because it's way closer for one team than the other. So, yeah, it is kind of treated differently in basketball than it is in football. Lake City obviously would have been a lot easier for Grayling fans to make than Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah. Oh, that'll just be Lake more listenership.
It will.
Yeah, we got to figure that out if we're going to play it on all our channels.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
James, are you going to that game? What game are you going to go to? Are you going to go to Cadillac?
I think I'm going to the Lake Leelanau game.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be in Lake City.
Oh, okay. So, and who have they got?
They're playing Fulton.
I'm sorry?
Fulton.
Yeah, they're playing Fulton. I don't know a whole lot about them and, you know, how good their team is or anything like that, but I know that they started the playoffs with a 9-11 record and have won 5 in a row in the playoffs. So,
holy cow.
Wow, that happens.
Yeah.
That's why we call it mayhem.
And that's right, because if Grayling were able to beat Menominee in that next game, they're going to play the winner of Bath, who is 17-6, and Ecorse, who is 8-12. So obviously Ecorse plays probably a very tough schedule down there in the southeast part of the state.
Yeah, they're kind of downriver. They're downriver Detroit.
Yes.
So I imagine they probably do have a pretty competitive schedule, and Grayling's record even coming into the playoffs was not that great. I mean, you know, they played a good schedule, Lake Michigan Conference schedule, and they didn't shy away from anybody outside the schedule either.
What do you know about Menominee, James?
Pretty much nothing about their basketball team. I know they've got a good record. They're ranked fairly high, but as far as their personnel and what they do, I haven't seen anything of theirs. It's the only time I've ever gotten up to the Upper Peninsula this year so far is that Glen Lake girls game when they had to go to Engadine for their regional final.
Right. And James, what I know about the Menominee team, it's a team that's been looked upon as being very successful all year long. They were in the preseason rankings. They continued to play well all year long. They're 21-3. So this is no surprise that Menominee is here. It's not like a flash in the pan. This team was expected to play very well this year.
We don't know anything about them. Size.
Size. I saw a little bit of film on them from 9-10, 7-4, and all of that. And they look like they obviously have some good-sized kids. And so it'll be an interesting matchup when we talk to LJ Mead tomorrow morning. We'll get a better scouting report on the Maroons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they can beat Benzie Central, they got to be a pretty good team.
Yes.
I mean, Benzie Central has been firing on all cylinders.
No doubt about it. And they beat them rather handily from what I...
That was
double overtime.
Yeah,
right.
Double overtime game.
Yeah.
And then Cadillac's taking on who?
I can't remember. They're going down to Central Montcalm for their game on Tuesday.
I'm going to pull it up.
Look it up here really quick. But I heard, that in the last couple of games, Cole Genema played through that injury that we had talked about last week and has been having some pretty good games, and Jaden Montag has really stepped up for them. They're playing Freeland.
24-0. Very. They've had a pretty good history in years past.
Yeah,
that's a team.
That's right. Sometimes there are roadblocks, though. I hate to keep talking about my experience, but when we had our run, we had to play Pontiac Central in the quarterfinals, and the original Swami, Al Schramm, said Brother Rice's run to the state tournament is over.
Oh yeah,
when they meet Pontiac Central, and we beat them. We beat them pretty good.
In the pressure of that undefeated season, if you're close late in the game, that all continues that pressure we've talked about all day today, JC. It just continues to build and goes on their shoulders.
And basketball is basketball, Rich. We've talked about it for 3 years on this show. Sometimes you go, well, how did that happen? One team makes its shots, the other team doesn't make their shots. It's a pretty simple formula.
It is, exactly. It comes down to the basics of the basics sometimes.
Or sometimes you make your shots almost the whole game, but when it gets tight, somebody gets tight and somebody doesn't. And that's what happened like yesterday in the St. Peter's Kentucky game. They had no business losing that basketball game, but they didn't make their shots when they had to. Cadillac, you've seen Genema.
I have, yeah.
If he had a little bulk to him, he'd be playing D1 basketball.
Exactly. Yeah, because the kid can handle the ball. Yeah. He can do. He's very smooth for 6'9". He just needs some size.
Just I want to thank Vic & Sons, your local competitive and reliable propane provider, for providing this platform for us to talk about the playoffs in MHSAA. But there's so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel, Visit Charlie's Country Corner on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, and a full-service diesel garage. Visit Fick & Sons and Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store. The Fick & Sons on M-72 at Bear Lakes. At the Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane cylinder refills and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli coming soon. Go to FickandSons.com to find out what they have for you. One game, we've always been dropping in a little bit from the Catholic League.
Yes.
And at Orchard Lake and St. Mary's and all their transfers finally got their crap together. But guess who they're playing to go in the quarters?
Warren Dealer. I saw that. Yeah, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah,
there.
That's going to be a hell of a basketball game.
Oh.
It's really funny how some of this stuff always goes
together. Oh, it is. And then on the other side of that bracket is Grand Rapids Northview, a team I'm not – but Kalamazoo Central,
yeah,
who has had a good team for the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't see King in the matchup. I think they got eliminated.
Cass Tech is playing Belleville.
Yeah.
So I think they got beat by
Detroit King, who had been number one for most of the year,
yeah,
until they lost the Operation Friendship game to Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
I mean, Cass Tech came out of that gauntlet. They're 21-3 overall, so they've played well.
Cass Tech has had a great basketball program for a long time. We beat that. Brother Rice beat them in 1974 for the state championship. I think Cass Tech is like 7 state championships.
That'll work.
Yeah, that more than most.
Yes.
Anything else you got your eyeballs on, James?
Yeah, you guys are talking about all the loaded Division I field. Looking at the Division II field that Cadillac is in, and it's kind of a who's who, too, of high school basketball. And it's just kind of nice to see a team from Northern Michigan in there with them, you know, in Cadillac. And you got Benton Harbor, Grand Rapids Catholic, Pontiac, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Detroit Edison. Williamston.
Pontiac Notre Dame team is a really good educational school. This is kind of like the culmination of getting some kids in from Pontiac into the basketball program.
Okay.
So they just kind of arrived on the scene in the last couple of years. They've got a really good squad.
Yeah, and I like the top of that bracket in Division II, James. It's Grand Rapids Catholic versus Benton Harbor.
Ooh.
That's a barn burner there.
Benton Harbor.
23-1 Grand Rapids Catholic Central, 22-2 Benton Harbor. That might be the preview to what the final should have been.
Benton Harbor.
Yeah, that's a state championship level game, I think, right there.
Rich history. Chet Love.
Big time.
That was one of the first most famous high school basketball games ever in the state of Michigan when Dave DeBuscher's Austin High School went against Chet Love from Benton Harbor in the state championship. People have talked about that game since I was a little boy.
Oh, that's how it just that lives on forever.
Yeah, well, two guys, two of the best athletes ever out of the state of Michigan.
Sure.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's hopefully we got more guys to talk about. Well, actually, it'll all be over before we get to it again.
Tuesday,
and then what is it, the semis are Friday?
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Go ahead. Say that again, James.
The semifinals will be Saturday.
We didn't hear you.
The semifinals will be Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
And then
the finals Saturday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Are they all on Saturday?
They're all on Saturday,
wow.
The finals.
Yep.
So I'm really hoping I miss next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. I'm really hoping.
Well, regardless of what happens, we will be playing this weekend on Upmore Sports Radio, the girls' semifinals and finals game. We're contractually obligated
to
say to play those games. I don't know. I have the schedule in front of me, but we will talk about it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And then, regardless of whether Cadillac's in or Grayling or anything else, is the same thing. We will have the semifinals and the finals here on Up North Sports Radio, James. If you're not traveling to East Lansing,
right? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, if we got local teams, we'll be there.
Yeah.
And we hope that's the case. Yeah, Leelanau St. Mary's looks like they might, out of the three, I would say, probably is the best chance of making it to East Lansing.
Yep. And James,
I think they've got a nice shot And, they're a team that's just kind of carried by two guys. They have, some other role players and some other guys that could hit three-pointers and stuff like that. And I've just been waiting to see if there was a team that was able to take both of those guys away, and nobody's been able to do it yet.
Hard to take two guys away.
All kinds of different defenses.
No, it's just very hard to take two guys away.
Yep.
One guy you can, unless he's Larry Bird.
Right.
Or Magic. But Magic had Kelser. Magic's always had, other than the one game that he played when Kareem was out, his rookie year
when he played center.
42-19. And I'm not, Magic is my guy.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, he always had a wingman.
Sure.
So when you have two really good players, that's usually a formula for success.
Yeah, it certainly is. And James, I sure do hope to see you down at the Breslin Center next Saturday, or possibly Thursday or Friday as well.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, thank you, James. Anything that we should look forward to? You going to do an overview in tomorrow's paper, or what do you got on tech for the podcast?
I think next week we're going to have Dylan Craig and Caleb Call and Ethan Koharik from the Grayling team on the podcast.
Very cool.
And coming up, we're just going to do some preview stories on the quarterfinals, and then we're working on our all-region dream teams.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here on the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. And go Vikings.
Go Vikings. Oh, it covers our bases.
Yeah, if Leland on St. Mary's is named the Vikings, we'd have it made. Okay, Rich. Yeah, fun stuff.
Oh, it's an absolutely great time, and the community's coming together for a big send-off for this team on Tuesday, and it's going to be incredible.
Yeah. They've got their work cut out for them, but as you've mentioned a lot of times, they're in that pipeline right now.
They are.
Where they, if they play with confidence and play the way that they've been playing and count on the entire team, then anything is possible.
That's absolutely right, JC.
And we will be back here tomorrow to even have a larger in-depth discussion about this at 10 o'clock. We'll have Coach LJ Mead on. We'll have Coach Ryan Basenberg on.
Yep.
Probably have Coach Schultz from St. Mary's. Unfortunately, right. their run came to an end.
It did, yeah. But they had a great season.
They had a great
at
season.
St. Mary's, yes. Yeah.
So thank you to tuning in to Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show here on Up North Sports Radio. And remember, for all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable. Check them out at fickandsons.com. See you tomorrow morning right here on Up North Sports Radio at 10 o'clock. For the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.